Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Amigo of Crane and Company. We've had Jake Crane.
Yeah.
We've had David Cohn.
That's for last, baby.
Head off air. Save the best for last. Blaine Crane. Blaine, what's going on, man? It's great.
What is up, dude? Appreciate you having me on, bro. I'm glad to be on. I've been excited about it. We kind of been running back and forth. You know, schedules are crazy, dude. But hey, keep up all the good work, man. You're balling right now.
Dude, I appreciate it. You guys are doing the same. I want to start what we were just talking about off air, because we're going to go ahead and any of the kids out there, especially watching, we're going to basically just their days. Peter Pan's actually a bad guy. Goldilocks is a criminal. You guys dropped a segment on this. Please expand for those who are tuning in and have no idea what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. I would love to. This is right up my alley. We're going to start with the Peter Pan situation here. Okay. And if you really think about it, Peter Pan goes into little boys, girls' bedrooms late at night. All right. And basically kidnaps them. All right. And takes them to a fairyland. All right. And then you think of the bad guy in the story. Who would that be? That would be Captain Hook. But really, Captain Hook is the good guy. And I'll tell you why. Captain Hook was a kid that Peter Pan stole, right, out of his bedroom when he was a kid. And so now he tries to stop Peter Pan from taking kids. So one, Peter Pan should be at least 5 to 10 in a max security prison somewhere. And the Hansel and Gretel story, I mean, look, I went through the Cumberland Law today on the show. It was section page 824, section 13-4. All right. If you open a door walking to a premises, the door does not have to be locked. And if you walk into that premises, look, that is breaking and entering. She did it. Not only did she do that, but she ate out of three people's bowls. The disrespect. Who is her father? Because I have some questions.
So why did Captain Hook grow old in Neverland, though?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe because he's fighting against the power. That's what I think it is. You know, he's not eating all that fake food. All right. He's pissed off all the time. Doesn't look like he's hitting a bunch of his bets, which he can get help out with Crane and Company. If you, not me this month. You can fade me. I'm down 15 units. But you find the other crane in that 7-foot tree, David Cone, they'll do you right.
What's killing you? College basketball?
Killing me, dude. It's impossible to bet.
Dude, I actually went 1-1 last night. I'm starting to get back into a little bit of sports gambling. It's funny. I've given picks for so long.
Yeah.
Sort of got away from actually placing wagers on them, got back into it last night. I went 1-1.
There you go.
I thought the Hogs at home, you know, it's been really tough to win on the road in the SEC. Thought tough. The Hogs at home would cover 8.5 and still lose. Mm-hmm. They got killed. But I took Auburn. Your Auburn Tigers on 11.5. Even as a guy who, you know, I followed South Carolina closely. I'm a South Carolina guy, mm-hmm. admittedly. I was like, Neville. Neville's different. Auburn's different than Neville, man. And that was an insane performance. I mean,
someone threw up a stat the other day in the show. I think Auburn's like 40-3, you know, over the last couple of years at home. Losing Kentucky. I think you lost Kentucky twice. But the thing about South Carolina, man, what they're doing right now and with their coach, one, you're going to have to hold on to this coach, I believe. And two, you're playing so above your skill level, in my opinion. I think that was a bad matchup walking to that Auburn game. I mean, styles make fights, obviously, and it's tough to beat Auburn at home. But what y'all are doing, man, what are y'all now, 26-4? You're in that range for sure. Playing above your weight. I think South Carolina is going to be a dangerous team, especially when it comes to tournament time.
Speaking of that, Blaine, you know, a lot of chatter last night with Auburn fans, South Carolina fans. We talked to our good buddy Chris Marler all the time about Alabama fans on social media. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, who has the most toxic fan base on social media?
God, that's a good question.
You know, and I'll say this, it's so easy to say the one that you're like most in the weeds with or closest to mm-hmm. because you see all the madness, but I mm-hmm. wasn't sure if there was one that has given you hell over the years, or you notice even like the Crane and Company social media, or maybe like the Booster Club or YouTube, a fan base that's just like constantly just ragging you guys.
Well, any Alabama fans, the thing about it, like me and Jake are from Auburn, all right? So if we have any Alabama take, and when we look at most stuff, guys, it's from an analyst standpoint, you know, we don't bring our emotions to it, but it doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what you do, all right? Alabama fans, if you're from Auburn, they will find a way. I think it's a little bit different and aggregate when you say all schools, because I think Auburn Twitter for basketball is the most toxic thing I've ever seen in my life, and I enjoy every second of it. Georgia's up there, and if there's one side you don't want to get on the wrong side of, that's LSU Twitter, all right? If you get on the wrong side of it, and I've tried to stay on their side as long as possible, as long as I can. If you get on the wrong side of those guys, and it's not like they're mean, right? It's different. You're an idiot. Your show sucks, blah, 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 that. But they say stuff that cuts deep, you know, that you have to go in the bathroom for 30 minutes and look at yourself. Yeah, it's one of those situations. So in aggregate, I would probably say Auburn.
Those LSU folks have put a voodoo curse on you.
Built different. It's different down there.
Built different. Blaine, we just got some details this morning about the NCAA football video game. Your level of excitement for it, I got to imagine the content. I know for me personally, but from so many, the content that's going to come from that is going to be insanity. Yeah. What are you most looking forward to from the new game outside of just the fact that we're getting a new game? Is there one feature, one thing in particular you just cannot wait to do when you play the game?
It's probably Road to Glory. Look, and I am a huge online dynasty guy. Look, I love recruiting. I love the grind, the process. You know, I love it. But there's something about making that Road to Glory player. You know, there's something about being a safety. All right. You can be running back. You can be quarterback. But go make a corner. All right. Go make a slot receiver. All right. That's one of my favorite things to do with online dynasty. The only thing I'm worried about is just don't mess it up. Please don't mess it up. Don't make it like Madden. Madden is garbage, trash. I quit buying the game 3 years ago because they just remake the same game, and it's terrible. just it's so hard to mess up. Elon Musk is laying himself backwards on Mars. All right. Can we please just make a good college football game? I'm glad it's coming out. I can't wait. The online dynasty I'm going to make is going to be absolute pressure. So probably Road to Glory, though, is I'm most excited about.
Was there a team that when you were younger playing the game, you're obviously an Auburn guy, but was there a team you loved to play with? Or maybe were you one of those guys that you'd start a dynasty with, like Toledo or,
yes,
or like off the wall and take them all the way to the top? Was that you?
Old Dominion. Old. And I'm telling you, I'm 30 years. I have the 30 years invested in that dynasty. Just absolutely brought the prestige all the way up to 5 stars. We're out recruiting Bama. And that's, look, I'd rather do that.
Out recruiting Bama with like a 14,000 seat stadium or whatever.
Yeah, there's like 13 people that come sit in our stadium. Like NIL money, there's, yeah, no such thing. We have to beg you to even come here. But there's something about, dude, there's something about getting that small program, right? Getting that small program and just building it up. Who just wants to go get Oregon? You know, nobody wants to do that. Real college football fans, the ones who love it, you go get that Toledo. You go get that Akron. It's going to take 3 to 4. All right. You better put it on Heisman. All right. We're not fakes around here. All right. You better play every play. Let me ask you this. Are you one of the guys who makes a creative player on the roster, just one, all right, on that team? Or do you just play roster how it is?
I just play roster how it is. I'm more so I'll edit the roster to like real life if I needed to do that.
Oh, yeah, the update for sure.
So I will say, though, when I was younger, when I was like in, you know, middle school, high school, whatever, I would do that. Me and my buddies, I would put me and all my friends in the game positions. And so it's like me at quarterback throwing my buddy, that was on the baseball team with me at wide receiver. And
That was
always a blast. Yes.
Yeah. That's how I did it with my brother. It's like every time we play, obviously it was me and my brother. All right. So he'd play defense and I played offense. I'm kind of the offensive genius, but a lot clutcher than Kyle Shanahan. So that's what we did. We'd make ourselves and put us each on the side of the ball. But look, after 3 years, they're gone. You're not bringing them back.
Yeah.
All right. And they can leave early too.
Looking at the 2024 season, Blaine, you know, we had a lot of parity in 2023, which was awesome. 12-team playoff era begins. Is it fair to say, though, that Georgia is going to return as the team to beat, where it's like everybody is kind of looking up at Georgia? Do you expect a ton of parity at the top? Do you think it's going to be chaos and madness on a weekly basis because of the portal? Or is Georgia, especially with Nick Saban retiring, is Georgia ready to take over the mantle as the team to beat in college football?
I think so, but the only thing I think different is this. I think what Ohio State is bringing in the portal right now is next level. I mean, you just bring over Chip Kelly to be your offensive coordinator. You bring in Will Howard. You bring in the running back from Ole Miss. The pieces that they're building, and they brought a lot back from that defense too. And that defense was extremely, extremely good last year. Looking, I know Georgia reloads, and the athletes they have running around there, it's like Mordor from Lord of the Rings. I get it. You bring back Carson Beck. But you do lose Brock Bowers, right? You do lose Ladd McConkey. You do lose Jack Sane, a receiver. So you lost some key pieces up front. Georgia will always be Georgia. I'm not in the business of counting Alabama out yet. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm one of those. I have to see it to believe it. They have to lose some football games from out here. Well, Alabama's done. Nick Saban's this. Ryan Grubb took this job. Alabama's still Alabama in my book until I see something different. So if it's me right now, the two front runners, I'd put Georgia and Ohio State close.
You would almost think Ryan Day is feeling the pressure with the moves he's making. Because, I mean, they aren't just making your typical offseason moves. Like you mentioned the portal, but that Chip Kelly move, man, that one's built different. That one truly was built different. Like you mentioned, Blaine, when you and Jake and Dave and the rest of the crew, when you guys give analysis, it's you remove all the fandom, you remove the motion. That's why you're one of the best in business, what you do. So when I ask you about Alabama and Auburn, I know that you're going to shoot me straight. You say you got to see it to believe it with Bama. But what are your honest feelings about Kalen DeBoer? And then this OC thing where Grubb goes to Seattle, he promotes Nick Shepherdson. And I know Dave Cone's really excited about that. That was his roommate. But I looked at that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thought it was a little underwhelming. I got to be honest with you. I was kind of surprised they didn't do a more thorough search. I know it's not all about getting a name, but like, you know, your defensive coordinator comes from South Alabama and Nick Sheridan comes from Indiana. I mean, there's just, I guess it's kind of like Kalen DeBoer where there's no guarantees and it's a roll of the dice. So like, what are your overall thoughts on DeBoer and the moves early on in his tenure in Tuscaloosa?
Well, I think first, I don't think when it comes to the head coaching hire, I don't think Bama was going to make a bad hire there with the contestants that they were going through, the guys they're interviewing. We're so used to Alabama getting exactly who they want, what they want, when they want, no blemishes, Nick Saban this. If Nick Saban wants a guy, he's coming. I do. Nick Sheridan has plenty of time to prove himself, and he's going to have to prove himself. But what a great situation to walk into a guy with Jalen Milroe as your quarterback who was a Heisman finalist, who got better throughout the season. And I think he's going to have a hell of a season coming up. I still think that Alabama, with the athletes they have, with the talent they have, and the tradition that Alabama has, what's a failure? That's the big thing when it comes to Alabama. What do you consider a failure? Is 9-3 a failure? In Alabama fans' eyes, yes. If you lose more than two games, buddy, it's a failure. So Kalen DeBoer knew what he was walking into the situation. I do think Alabama will be fine. I don't think they're going to be on the same standard what they were with Nick Saban. That's impossible to do, in my opinion. But I do think Bama will go out and win games. They still have athletes. They'll still recruit. I thought the Ryan Grubb with the 30-day thing was shady. But I don't think Ryan Grubb walked into that knowing, like, you know, I'm going to try to screw Bama in this situation.
You know, you mentioned the Ryan Grubb thing. I think about, I can't help but think about South Carolina. And it wasn't, I don't know, it made national headlines or SEC headlines, but you mentioned that. And then Chip Kelly just left, you know, UCLA to be at Ohio State, going from a head coach to coordinator. And Sean Elliott, Georgia State's on the third day of spring practice, and he dips out to take the tight ends coach at South Carolina. I mean, and I talked about this. I think it's a great hiring. I'm not knocking Sean Elliott. I'm not knocking Beamer. I think it's a great hiring, but man. You talk about and now they're putting spring practice on pause because, you know, they don't have a head coach. Like that stuff like that is why, you know, I don't love the way college football is necessarily like the wild, wild west of the portal. And but that's why it'll never go anywhere, because as long as coaches can just up and leave, I'd sit here and justify that a college athlete should not be able to up and leave and better their own situation when coaches are doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, first of all, if you're South Carolina, phenomenal hire. All right, love the guy, especially what he's been doing at Georgia State. He's going to bring a certain amount of toughness to the South Carolina football team. But if you're a player and I see this, buddy, I can pack it up whenever I want to. All right? And it almost makes it impossible to coach. Like, it really does. Like, you have to coach kids. I don't know if I could do it if I was still in the game right now. You have to coach kids so differently now. I'd be afraid to get on a kid's ass. Because if he could just walk in, just flip me the bird, go grab my pads, grab my stuff, there's probably three coaches calling him anyways. Look, every girl, like, it's almost like that hot girl, right? It's that hot girl that always has 5 to 6 guys in her phone, right, that at any point can go away and live that life. So you have to tiptoe on what you say and what you do. But it's just a fine mix, because when a coach does this, first of all, it just doesn't feel right, right? It's just watching your mom kiss another guy. It just doesn't feel right. And if you're a player, right, and I see this, I can go whenever I want to. Hell, I don't care if it's during the season. I don't care if it's the second quarter of a football game. All right. If I don't like what I'm seeing, I'm out. And that's what it's going to come to.
Blaine, 9-game conference schedule is on the way for the SEC. Texas AD, I think, spilled the beans a little bit when talking about the new era beginning in the Southeastern Conference. Your thoughts on a 9-game conference schedule? I personally love it. I think, you know, I think back to 2020 when we just had 10 straight SEC games. And I mean,
yeah,
that was electric start to finish. I get some of the downside. It's only going to get tougher, but your thoughts, love or hate going from an 8-9-game conference schedule?
I love it. I want to see everybody play everybody in this conference. I don't want to see you play McNeese State. I don't want to see you play Norfolk Tech, Michigan Tech, the school of the deaf and blind. I want everybody to see everybody on their field and on the opposite field, man. I can't wait. It is time. It's SEC football. Look, it's a grind anyways. All right, it is. If anything, this is most about is probably player safety because the collisions week in, week out with the matchups. One thing I'm most excited about is just the new rivalries that are going to come from this. The hate. There's just something, right? You remember like Texas and LSU back when they played in that bowl game, just the natural hate that's there. So I'm completely down with it 100%. I don't want to see Alabama play three scrubs every year.
How do you feel about the hype that Auburn is inevitably going to catch this offseason? I think they're going to be one of those teams that we look at as – and I know there's the doubters out there, but, you know, you look at the – basically the entire coaching staff is just completely revamped. But Hugh Freeze is back in the controls. He's calling the plays. Auburn's over under win total 6.5. I love the over. I think Auburn's going to be hyped up. Does that make you nervous at all going into year two, or are you buying the hype that Auburn could be, say, an 8- or 9-win team this year?
Whenever you say the two words Auburn football, I'm going to get nervous already, regardless. I think what he's doing recruiting-wise, what he's bringing in, the coaching changes he's made, I've liked. The one thing I will always go back to, and I've caught a lot of hell for this, but it keeps showing up on the field, who's playing quarterback for Auburn, all right? If Peyton Thorne is playing quarterback for Auburn, your ceiling is so high, is only so high. You can bring in Marvin Harrison, A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson. That's fine, but you still need a guy to throw them the football. And as long as Peyton Thorne's a starting quarterback at Auburn, I don't believe in the hype that much. You might win 8 games.
Blaine, what do you think about the future of college football, right? We talked about these coaches, the coaches movement with Chip Kelly obviously going from a Power 5 school to a Power 5 OC. I feel like the business of college football, though, has never been better. The sport for the diehard fan maybe has never been worse because of portal NIL. Is that an accurate way to describe it and your thoughts? Because, again, we're in a position to where we see both the business side and the fandom side. Thoughts on where college football is and where it's going?
I think college football, the only way college football won't be fine is if a meteor hits the earth. That's the only way people won't watch college football. I think with NIL and the transfer portal, that the water's muddied up a little bit. You're kind of seeing the dark undertones of college football because it's getting brought to light. And I promise you this, all right, as my dad, who was a college football player, if you don't think kids were getting paid back in the day, okay, there's some beach front property in Kansas that I can sell you and you'll love it, all right? It's getting brought to the forefront, which it should be. Kids deserve to get paid. Look, if you're a college football fan, this isn't going to turn you off to not watch it. All right. You might hate it. It doesn't feel as much hometowny, you know, it doesn't feel as pure, but look, kids getting to get paid. And this is the way college football is now. You're not going to stop it. The NCAA sure as hell not going to stop it. There's only one person who can maybe help fix it. And that's Greg Sankey. So look, keep the death leader in charge. All right. Keep the senator in charge with his dark star and we'll go from there.
Blaine, how excited are you to watch Nick Saban on game day? Or are you not excited? Because I know there's some mixed reviews, some folks. And I think I heard you say this, that Auburn fans, you have to hate it because you want Nick Saban to go as far away from college football.
Get away.
Right.
Go to the lake, Nick. Why do you have a lake house, Nick?
He bought an island. Why don't he go there?
Why are you on game day, Nick? Get away from me. I can't escape this guy no matter what. He's retired, and we're still talking about him. He's going to somehow help Bama. This is going to help Bama. He's going to have undertones on game day. Look, is Nick Saban the best to ever do it? He can be around the game, but get on a Zoom call from your island, Nick. All right, I don't want to see you anywhere around football. As an Auburn fan, get away, please.
Blaine, there's never been more pressure on head coaches, I think, than there is now with, again, NIL, their salaries, how much they're making. What do you think, and I know it can go based off a situation, but what do you think is the proper amount of time to give a head coach in today's climate who's taken over a situation to get it rolling? And again, I ask you that question, but I also recognize that the window of time Jeff Lebby's going to get in Starkville, much different than the window that Kalen DeBoer is going to get. I mean, if they go, if Bama were to go 8-4 this year, they may not get, he may not come back. Like, it's to that level. But if you had to put a number on it, what would you say is by year blank, if this era of college football, you know what you have?
It's tough because every situation is different. You brought that up. Realistically, 3 years. I think realistically, that third year with the transfer portal, with NIL, you can make enough shake. Because what Ohio State doing, spending $13 million, they're going all out. Look, I get it. They're being the Cavs. Let's see how many people we can buy and come play good. But 3 years in general, I think, is enough time to really see. And it kind of goes to like Billy Napier. What Billy Napier is walking into, and I said this when Billy Napier got hired, what Dan Mullen left Billy Napier, it was trash and garbage. It was absolutely destroyed inside and out. Billy's about to walk into a schedule this year that is only going to go downhill from here. So, in Florida fans, I don't think Billy Napier will make it. I do think Jeff Lebby, but see, that's the difference, right? So, Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State, but he's going to have a guarantee 3 years unless they don't win a football game. But you walk into an Alabama situation, you lose three games, buddy, they're going to be torches and picket fences outside your front yard. So, I would say 3 years realistically, but nowadays, you'll maybe get two.
Is there any way in your mind that Billy Napier makes it back in 2025?
No.
And the over-under's at 5.5. Would you say under's a lock?
Under. I don't even have to look and look.
I'm leaning under.
I said this with people who were gassing Florida up at the beginning of the year last year. All right.
I picked them 5-7.
I was like, look, they might win the first couple because of what Utah's dealing with and all this. But once they get in that latter half of the schedule, the meat in their schedule is going to go downhill. And the schedule they have coming up this year, there's no off weeks.
Yeah.
I think they play 8 teams with a win total of 8.5 or something crazy like that. Good luck, Billy.
Hey, they've got Samford, which is a kick-in win. Outside of that, Miami, FSU, and UCF in the non-conference with Jay Jefferson, who, and Gus Malzahn, an evil genius, who beat them last year. And then the SEC slate. So let me ask you this. So we talked Napier, Sam Pittman, thoughts on – that's one of those tough ones because it's all about winning. But, you know, we talk about fits, and maybe that's overrated, but there's not much better fit in college football than Sam Pittman in Arkansas.
I'd agree. And the thing about it, what gets me is this. As a head coach, you bring a certain specialty, right, to your team. And what Sam Pittman was supposed to bring to Arkansas – is that we're going to kick people's ass up front. All right, we're going to run the ball and kick people's ass up front, and Arkansas is not even close to doing. How Sam Pittman is still the head coach of Arkansas football right now blows my mind after last year. A disaster in every way. So if you're Sam, I don't even know how many games you have to win. It's going to probably be at least 9 to keep your job.
So, Blaine, going back to Auburn, we talked about the window to get it going. Would you say that, I mean – by the end of next year, 2025, is that year where Hugh's got to pop off? And, I mean, what's that number for you? Obviously, we know the goal and the expectation, the standard. We've seen it at Auburn, win national championships. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban's not in the picture anymore. Obviously, it's getting tougher with Oklahoma and Texas. But, I mean, Auburn fans don't change the standard. They don't move those goalposts. How long does Hugh have to get it going? What needs to happen this year and then next year? If we say that's the year he's got to pop, are we talking 12-team college ball playoff? Are we talking 9-3?
No, you better.
What does that look like? What does it look like?
It's a you better make the playoff situation. Look, Auburn fans, look, we're greedy just like anybody else. All right, and we've seen the mountaintop. We've drank from the cuppeth of the championship, and it's beautiful. And once you get a taste of it, buddy, you can't run from it. What hurts the most as an Auburn fan? I mean, obviously losing to New Mexico State, that sucked. But being this close to beating Georgia and Alabama in the same year. And as a guy who was on the sidelines for both of those games, it just hurts me to even talk about it. But I do think this, what Hugh is building, you can see, right? You can see the buildings start to come up. The foundation is getting built, but there's certain moves that worry me. All right. I go back to the 4th and 31 against Alabama. Auburn fans, I'm sorry, but I had to bring it up. You have to be almost incompetent for that to happen to you. All right. From the special teams, the backup punt returner being on special teams and giving up a 4th and 31. Look, you're the head coach. That's going to fall on you. So you blew it in the most pressure situation. That's what scares me. Second is you haven't brought anybody to challenge Peyton Thorne at quarterback. This a Walker White kid, I mean, he's too young. You want to throw a freshman in the quarterback in the SEC, good luck, buddy. I mean, we'll see, unless he's Bo Nix, which I don't think he is. Those two things worry me, but I do think Hugh Freeze is building something special. But at the end of the day, you better at least have 10 wins or make a playoff after next year, or people are going to start chirping.
And not to harp on it and bring it up again, Blaine, but you mentioned the 4th and 31, and it is like really inconceivable thinking about it. I was watching that live, obviously. I mean, that just – it's inconceivable. It's
never in my life. Never in my life. And I try to like, man, I
– What was a more unlikely scenario to play out, the kick six or the 4th and 31?
I think the 4th and 31.
Yeah.
I think you got out-schemed on the kick six. That's what I think happened. I mean, they put up a guy back there. You had nobody with any speed on your field goal team. So you got out-schemed. When it comes to this was just idiotic from the beginning as a defense. I've never seen three guys have their back turned, right, with their feet on the goal line when the ball is getting caught. I have never seen that. And that was taught like that. You put your heels on the goal line, okay? Your edges rush outside. All right, don't let him get outside the pocket. If he wants to step up and throw it, we'll take that. You should never have your back turned, ever. And I'm one of those guys, like, do you rush three? Do you bring pressure? Different strokes for different folks. But it should never get to – if you out-jump all of us and catch the ball, that's fine. But first of all, it was one-on-one coverage in the end zone. What are we doing? Your back's turned. What are we doing? That's what scares me the most, because I've been there with the headset. When you call a play and it's the most intense, most pressurized moment in the entire game, and certain guys, a la Kyle Shanahan, blow it. They blow it. And if you have that gene in you, it's hard to get out of it.
David Cohn mentioned this in his Get Off My Lawn segment. I think this was today of when we're speaking. Horns down. What's your feeling?
Yeah.
Horns down. Are you excited to see SEC teams participate in horns down?
First thing, let me go ahead and say this to Texas. If you think you're going to get anything out of Greg Sankey, buddy, good luck. All right, good luck. It's tough to get to that man, I promise you that. And I do think it's more of the administration and coaches and player than the fans. Mm-hmm. I don't think the fans really have a problem with it. Obviously, you're going to have your couple of fans who get upset about it. But you wanted a seat at the table, all right? You wanted to come play with the big boys. Here's your seat. The last thing you can do, you want to take any advice, all right, from a guy who's been in the SEC his whole life, you better not walk in with a weak chin. All right, you walk in the SEC with a weak chin, it's like blood in the water, buddy. They will find you. They will smell you out. It's one of those things, if you ever got arrested, went to jail, you better find the biggest guy you can, all right, and you punch him in the face as hard as you can. That's what the SEC is. So whether that's Georgia, Bama, Missouri, hell, the way they're playing these days, Tennessee, you better come and you better be nice early.
Blaine, do you think Mizzou can do it again? Make a 12-team playoff, yeah, in double-digit games. I feel like Ole Miss and Mizzou, they were the two that surprised last year, but Ole Miss is catching far more of the hype than Missouri. And Mizzou, it seems, is going to be that forgotten team again. Do you believe in the Tigers, or do you see them being a disappointment?
I believe in the Tigers is what they're bringing back. I mean, I think Brady Cooks is a hell of a football player. If you watch this guy playing and play out what he does for that Missouri offense, I think Drinkwitz, from an offensive playing call standpoint, is one of the best to do it. If you really look at him schematically and what they do on offense, I mean, you bring back Luther Burden Jr., who's an absolute animal. He's an NFL receiver walking around on the field. And the one thing about Missouri that's always low-key and not enough people talk about it, man, they're always good. Their front seven's always good. They always got a couple of guys. I watched a couple of guys in the Senior Bowl. They had a defensive lineman and a corner there who were both huge, especially defensive lineman, just scared the hell out of me being next to them. But they always play physical defense, and they always show up in big games. So this is perfect for Missouri. If you're Missouri fans, please don't talk about us. Talk about Ole Miss. Talk about Jackson Dart. Talk about the portal, what they begin. Talk about Lane Kiffin, and we'll just be there week in, week out, winning football games. I'm on the Missouri hype train now. I think they're going to make a playoff in the next 2 years.
Blaine, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Let's say, hypothetically, you're building a new college football program, Blaine Crane University, whatever you want to call
it.
Give me your – right now, you're building this program. Who's your pick at head coach, OC, DC? Who are your picks for – these are the best of the best who I want to build my program around for the long haul. Starting today, who are those guys?
Oh, my goodness. Head coach, probably Sark. I'd probably go Sark as my head coach. Can I take head coaches as D coordinators?
That's fine. Yeah. I mean,
give me
you saw Chip Kelly go to be a coordinator. So why not? I mean, it's, you
know, yeah, give me,
it's a dream staff. It's a dream staff.
Give me Lane Kiffin, OC. Give me Dan Lanning, DC. Which just coaches, or you say quarterback too?
Well, I mean, you could take quarterback if you want, sure.
God, who would you?
I'm surprised no Kirby in the rotation. I am surprised at that a little bit.
I know. There's something about Dan. He's younger. He's the hype's there. The energy's there, right? You can't go, look, probably Kirby's the right answer.
You got to think longevity, too. Like, you know, you got to
Look. You're going to be there for the next Dan's 20. Good with the young crowd. All right. He's good with the young crowd. Oregon's
on X smoking cigars and everything.
Yeah, except those guys saw him cook some steaks on Twitter. Those things look terrible.
There is, you know, people think I was talking about toxic Twitter earlier. Steak Twitter.
They'll get after you.
I will never post a picture of food on Twitter ever again. I did that one time.
Don't do it.
Hey, I made this steak. I'll never do it again.
It's not a winning situation.
The hardos of steak Twitter, unlike anything else.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation. One, I don't think you should ever post food ever.
Okay.
I'm just one of those guys. Like, if you're a female and you want to do it, that's fine. But like, if you're out there posting what appetizer you got at Red Lobster.
So Blaine Crane is not a fan of foodies.
I'm not a foodie. Look, I'm a big foodie guy. Like, look, I love to go eat different types. I'll take a whole weekend, hit a food truck event. I'm that guy, but I'm not a let me post it on Instagram type of guy. I'm just not. But if you look, ask Lincoln Riley when it comes to brisket. The last thing you ever want to do, especially on Twitter, Instagram maybe, right? Instagram maybe, you can probably take that hit. But if you post it on Twitter, you could just cook it perfectly, right? You could baste it perfectly, the butter, the rosemary, the salt and pepper. You can finish it in the oven. It doesn't matter. They're going to tear you apart in every single way they can. You won't find me. You're a brave man for doing that. I got to admit.
That was a while ago, and I learned my lesson. And
there you go.
Thankfully, it wasn't a mega viral moment, but I learned.
Yeah, that's a win.
Blaine, most heated debate that you can recall on Crane and Company. Was there a day that you left the set like fuming?
Oh God. Anytime we talk about
LeBron, you guys haven't let it carry over off set.
Well, the thing about it is this.
Have there been days where you're like, hey, we're not gonna speak for the next 24 hours?
No. Before, like, there's been a couple of days before the show started that, you know, there's some testosterone rolling around in that room. But after the show, no, not really. We usually get it all out. But anytime we talk about LeBron or Michael Jordan, I get so mad. I get so mad because, look, Cone's good at what he does. Cone can argue, but Jake's on the Michael Jordan train too. Look, I'm a LeBron guy myself. I think he's a better overall basketball player. Other than that, you know, Jake and David just get up there and agree with each other for an hour and a half. All right. And I'm just sitting there like, y'all suck. Okay. You're wrong. So, look, Jake finds every way to find to disagree with me because I'm his brother, which I get. But, no, man, we really haven't gotten to one lately. It's about time, though.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty with the college football news cycle always seems to find a way to give us something to talk about. I was going to ask too again, because so you're kind of the guy over there that's not the old man yelling at clouds, but you're sort of stoking the fire. I just have to imagine. Two SEC guys and a Michigan guy. This past season had to be interesting with the Connor Stallions type of deal.
Yeah.
That had to be interesting. That's all I'm
saying. Yeah, well, I mean,
I had Cone on, and I was joking with him about, hey, how long before the NCAA comes knocking and takes the title? He went on like a seven.
Oh, he didn't play around with it. He doesn't play around with it. Anytime you mention
it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
Dude, what happened? Look, I'll be looking at Cone's face as we do call-ins on the show. And during this whole, like, allegation thing, right when anybody – Cone could have the biggest smile on his face. Right when anybody would bring up Connor Sounds in Michigan, you see that he just turns straight to a supervillain. He gets so mad. And the thing about me, like, I'm on the side of – like, look, dude, everyone tries. Everybody – look, I've – I don't even know if I can say it, but I've stole signs before myself. Like, guys, everybody does it. High school, college, like, it's on tape. You can see it. If you're – it's your job as a coach to know if your signs are have gotten stolen. All right? And you usually know it by the second drive. All right? So you always have different signs, but, like, the Michigan thing really didn't – I really wasn't that upset about it, to be honest. Michigan was just a damn good football team. Like, look, you're about to see when the NFL draft comes out how good – Michigan was. There's a reason they went undefeated, and there's a reason they beat the teams who they beat. Doesn't matter the signs. It's because they're humongous.
Blaine Crane of Crane and Company. Blaine, I appreciate you taking the time, man. Y'all are some of the best in the business. Y'all do a great job, and I'm glad that, again, we saved the best for last, man. Now we've
had
all three of the amigos. This was a blast, man. Let's do it again soon for sure.
Appreciate you having on, man. Keep balling out.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.